You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
You went to Fordham and you studied. Did you live at home?
I did.
Of course, because you're Italian, Italian.
And poor. We had no money.
And you became a radio host. I went to Fordham.
Because
your voice is fucking beautiful for radio.
I was going to become an art therapist. I was going to become a teacher and work with kids and maybe, you know, work with them with art therapy.
It's never too late.
Now, well, that's what my mother was. Judith, when are you getting a teaching degree? Whatever.
Well, I couldn't afford a lot of schools. And they had to be local because I couldn't sleep away. So I went to Fordham and they took me into this core. It's a big castle, the big Keating Hall, the big centerpiece of the university. And so there's four corridors that shape a square around a center, you know, spire. One of the corridors on one of the floors was dedicated solely to WFUV, the college radio station.
Yes, we used to
they
listen to
open the door.
I don't know if people realize that the Fordham radio station. Oh. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. Everyone, that was the fucking coolest. Everyone listened to it.
50,000 watts, which was the maximum you could have. It was as powerful as any major radio station. All student run when I was there.
Yes.
All student run. My friend Paul Cavalcanti, who is here at this very inn, mm-hmm. who you met last night, he's the first person I met on my first day at school at Fordham University. We are still friends many decades later. I won't tell you how many. But anyway, that radio station just changed. I went, wait, I could be on the radio? And they said, because the radio was like this other land where magical people learned how to connect to the universe and their voices
just through,
came out of a box.
Through their words and their voice.
I didn't know how it happened. I didn't know how you actually
You're so good at it.
And that's when I started to go to the theater because I became the arts editor at Fordham. And I found out.
So did you get free tickets? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Free tickets. So I would take the Ram van because they're free.
Jubel gets
they're,
free.
They're a... mascot was the Ram, and it was the Fordham Rams football team. So for P.S., everybody I went to college with, and when I say college, I mean the radio station, because I lived there. Yeah. It was my dorm. I was there every day of the week. The guy I did the Tuesday night evening news with, Dick Brennan, is a Fox newscaster.
We'll take that away.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not local, but the local Fox, not the big network. You know what I'm saying? Like the local channel. Whatever the local is. And then, Mike Breen worked on Imus for years, and Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees.
Yeah. That was the school.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, I remember being at Rutgers and listening. That was the coolest radio station to listen to.
And it had the morning, like, pop music show, then the classical show in the afternoon.
Can I tell you, the music at night was like the...
The Rock Block.
The Rock. Rock Block. It was fucking called. Awesome.
You have to have Paul on your show because he will make you laugh.
Okay.
So then they had the ethnic shows like Bill Shabilsky's Polka Party and Eastern Sounds with belly dancing music. That's mm-hmm. what it was like, you know, the country music. They had the Irish show.
Yes.
If you got
in someone's car and they had that station on, you knew that they were cool. I'm not kidding. That was a cool...
Oh, it's so nice to hear that, you know.
That, I'm telling
you. And so I played show tunes there for the first time. That's where it sort of started. I started going to the theater, getting really interested in the theater.
Did you study... You were in this communications program.
Yeah.
And you had done theater in high school, but were you studying musical theater?
No, I didn't even know you could. As a matter of fact, I did one show with a friend. We did Side by Side by Sondheim, probably mm-hmm. totally illegally, and that was the only show I did. And I had interviewed Charles Strauss, and I it was on a cassette, kids, mm-hmm. a cassette. Anyway, I gave my mother my cassette player and a blank cassette. I said, could you record the side-by-side by Sondheim? She did, but she didn't put the blank cassette in.
Oh, God.
So she recorded over my Charles Strauss interview.
No, it's a legendary night amongst my friends.
Because I had a certified nervous breakdown. And then I went to a party, and they didn't have anything to drink other than beer, and I don't drink beer, so I drank that Jewish wine.
Manischewitz?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was so awful, but that's all
did
they
had. Did you
puke? I don't remember
because
much
Because it's all full
it's
of sugar.
And then I started going to a community theater. I started not going to. I when I graduated, I thought I'd try community theater. And
you worked at the March of Dimes.
I temped the first 6 months to a year looking for something. And then I landed at the March of Dimes as a temp in one department. I heard they had a telethon, so I went downstairs and inquired. And they were looking for somebody. So I worked for them for a year because I didn't like it. I love my boss.
Not.
He was sweet. My boss was like Edward Everett Horton in all the Fred Astaire movies. He was a sweet, dear, lovely man. But I didn't like the work. But
right.
I thought I'll stay
and
a year.
And all you want to do is like, okay, once I leave here, I can live my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And I got to go to California, though, with them because the telethon was in California. That's where I got to meet my cousin Tom Petty, the wonderful actor.
That's what I want to get to, yes.
Yeah. And so I wanted to leave really right away, but I couldn't. I needed the money. And if I waited a year, I'd get dental.
Yeah.
So I had all my wisdom teeth pulled a year after I got my, a year to the day when the dental kicked in, all four in one visit.
Wow.
And then I didn't have the balls to quit for another year. You know?
Okay. What's done is done. We're not going to.
I know. So then that's how I met my cousin Tom Petty.
So it's your grandfather's first cousin or your grandmother's first cousin?
It was my grandmother's first cousin.
Tom Petty, mm-hmm. who was an actor who was in many films.
He was
films.
The original Harry the Horse and Guys and Dolls
Guys
on
and
Broadway.
Dolls.
He
yep.
was in the original Death of a Salesman on Broadway.
Yes.
The original, the real big one is The Iceman Cometh. You
yes.
can see him, and he did the Broadway play. Eugene O'Neill cast him before anybody.
It's amazing.
He has letters from Eugene O'Neill, and I took him up
he's
to the...
He's very handsome. I looked him up, and he's just a good-looking guy.
Sweet, sweet, beautiful, honest, beautiful,
and had you
face.
Heard about him...
Oh, yes.
When you were growing up.
Because he was on some television shows, Arnie, which was a very short-lived Herschel Bernardi thing, and he had a couple of little cameos here and there on, like, Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, yeah.
He played Lou Grant's bookie, and then Ted Grant wants to, you know... Play
Ted Baxter.
Who's Ted Grant? Anyway, Ted Baxter wants to play some bets, and apparently Tom. Now I don't know this line. People tell me his lines. Okay, his line was, "But Lou, every time he places a bet, he goes the fruits of gambling bear bitter fruit, you know what I mean, and so this guy, some theater journalist, he kept on reciting that to me. Jackie Hoffman remembers his episode of Night Gallery called Spiders. Patrick O'Neill plays a man who's petrified of spiders. So Tom is the super who comes in and says, this is Jackie Hoffman reciting to me, if this is the way you feel about spiders, how would you react to a cockroach? And, you know, and he's also in Taking Pelham 1-2-3, and he's the first guy who gets killed.
Oh,
he
wow.
goes walking down the subway platform to get those bastards off his off his train. And he was a very righteous, wonderful, generous, loving, sweet, quirky old guy.
So, you know. In the 1950s, I'm just going to explain mm-hmm. this to everyone, he was blacklisted. He was a veteran. He served in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
He was a true American, but he had...
Conscientious objector.
Yes, he was a conscientious objector. He had communist sympathies, and he was obviously part of the, you know, accused of un-American activities, which, if I can think of one fucking person who is consistently... involved in un-American, that would be Donald fucking fuck.
Sure.
So, which by the way, I want to say, you know, I'm a comic, so that's what, you know,
well,
the
you're
owner,
allowed.
you know, the, we're here at the Anchor Inn, which is a beautiful place here in Provincetown, but the mother of the owner, doesn't like me, because I bashed Trump and she's old fashioned and she likes different kind. And I said, but you know what? I'm a nice person. She said, yes, I've heard that. But she, you know, I knew that when I came here today to interview you that she, and I
is she around?
Yeah. Yeah, she was downstairs, and I was talking to her. I said, I'm Judy Gold. And she goes, oh. So
yeah, you know what I say, Judy? I say, my friend Vinny, I like Trump, and I'm doing this wonderful satirical review of Rip Birdland.
Yes.
Called Everybody Rise, which is funny, funny stuff.
Yes, we're going to talk about it. Yeah.
So, but
look how we're whispering.
Oh, I don't know. You started with, oh, I know why you were. So
yeah, I was whispering.
Again.
No, but I just realized, oh my God, we're like so afraid. It's like, fuck you.
But it's true.
You have a guy who's in show business who likes Trump?
Oh, yeah. And he's gay. And I said, no. But I said, you know what? I said, you know something, Vinny? Here's what it is. Basically, if you were president, you'd have my back. And if I were president, I'd have your back. And so I basically know we're good people. If there was if the bomb landed and we have to live on our wits and our, you know, we'd all get along. So I have to just know that going into any conversation with anybody.
No, I am writing this book. I'm almost done with my book. How we have fought, especially comics, to get the truth out.
Mm-hmm.
Satirists. To get the fucking truth out, to have someone who blatantly lies, who puts people in harm's way, whose ego is more important, you know, there is no excuse. He doesn't give a shit about LGBTQRST people. Yeah.
People have to pay attention to the comics because you're not thinking about what a comic is innately. A comic is an observer.
Oh, okay? And a social commentator.
Observing. And if there's an irony, if there's a hypocrisy, it's good for a joke. Okay, so let's just, it's not that you're making them up out of thin air necessarily. You know, I think probably...
They're based in fact.
In a perfect world, you're looking for it out there in the world. You're not conjuring up...
And the reason...
There are some, but most of you guys are observers and trying to...
Oh, of course, of human behavior.
Of human behavior, and it's... There's truth in it. There's truth in it. The core of it, it's absolute... authentic and true
We get vilified and this one fucking says whatever he wants, but I mentioned that because I wanted to say in your show that I saw last evening, which was fantastic, you're very neutral about Trump. And
would you like to know why? Because 2 years ago I sang a song called Facts that Joe Keenan wrote with music by Jeff by Brad Ross, and it was on his Twitter feed, and I liked it. I listened to it, and I liked it. And I said, boy, I'd love to sing this song. And Joe Keenan, who was a writer for Frasier for many years, tweeted back and said, I'd love you to sing it. We became friends. I got the song, and I sang it here. And it's like, remember facts, those pesky little things that used to matter. And then it goes on to say, remember news, how if you saw it on the news, it might be true. But now your news is your news, and my news is my news. And remember... like when you used to be ashamed, lies, remember lies.
Right, right.
How, you know, when somebody told a lie, you'd be like, but they lied.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I sang the song here, and I know for a fact that Joe Keenan wrote it to be nonpartisan, because we all, I mean, some sides more than others, but we do tend to.
Oh,
you know,
please,
I mean?
They all lie. Yeah.
So, right. So these two gentlemen came up to me, and look, I was grateful that they came to my show. I really am. Every ass in that seat matters.
Yes.
It's a part of
your
life.
But know who you're coming to see,
day.
Too.
Well, they said, we're very upset, Christine, because we thought we were in a safe place. And I said, I'm so...
Oh my God, I have a whole thing in my act.
To yourself. And I went,
fuck you.
Okay. I said, all right. And they walked away, but then they came back. And they said, we're very upset. We thought we were seeing Christine Petty, and we were in a safe place. And I said, well, I'm so sorry. And they said, I said, why? I didn't get political. They said, that song...
But that's how they interpreted it.
And then I wouldn't let them go. Oh, I wouldn't let them go. I said, I have to tell you that this was written, and I can tell you that it was written to be nonpartisan. I had... the meetings with the writer, we talked about it on the phone, that this was the goal. And he said, no, it's about Republicans. I said, why would you say that? Because you were talking about facts.
So there you go. There you fucking
so
go.
They made me think a little bit. Because again, I have to respect everybody's opinion as to what they choose to bring to the stage. Like Martin Short and Steve Martin, I heard Marty say on I call him Marty, I've worked with him. But he said on one of the late night shows, somebody brought up the fact that they don't bring in politics at all.
Yes.
No, you don't have to bring in politics. You can talk about gardening or your kids or menopause or whatever. And I thought, well, I have to think about this. I'll be goddamned if I'm not going to say how I feel about something. But I have to decide whether I need to on certain occasions or not. That's all.
Yes, you can pick and choose.
Essential.
But you were very neutral. You did a song from the new show, Everybody Rise, which sounds like it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable.
And it was
Not, well, I said it's not political. It's not, it's about marriage.
Right. And
it's about Melania.
It's about Melania. And it, that song, did you see the audience?
I was.
It was like a release.
It was like, that's what's so great about this show. It's a release. It is, it's like the steam, the tea kettle finally gets to whistle.
Yes, yes.
You know? And people come up to us. We've done it twice at Birdland. Richard Kind
love
did
him.
It. The people who are going to do it as special guests include Chip Zion, Brad Oscar, Ding Ding, Liz Calloway. I don't think so.
No.
Who else? Jason Robert Brown, Anne Harada.
I love her. Judy Gold.
They're all going to, you want to sing a... we have a song for you.
Really? I'll do it in 2 seconds.
You have to be available on one of the night. The
okay,
night
but I'm an alto.
We can talk about it. Yeah, I am too.
Your fucking voice is beautiful.
People came up and said, we need to see this again. We need to see this again.
It's
and the title
so
is a bit,
needed.
You know, militant. Everybody rise, a resistance cabaret. Fear not.
But it makes me
it
think of,
lighthearted.
It makes me think of Elaine.
Right, exactly.
Can you do Elaine a little bit?
Elaine Stritch, sitting out on the deck. She's my favorite lesbian. Judy Gold.
Thank you, Elaine. I love you.
What do you got in the container there? Coffee or a little
no, I don't. It's just coffee. It's just coffee.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
So you meet Tom Petty. Your
my blacklisted wonderful
uncle. I mean, cousin. Sorry, I said uncle. Who really inspired you to start this thing called Blacklist? It's a...
Well, we did it. What happened was I went to Broadway Con, which is this big convention for Broadway the first year, and I said to them, would you be interested in something on the Blacklist? And I shit you not, they went, the person I spoke to said, well, I love that TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, no, that's not what
that's
I mean.
Yes.
Then I explained, and they said, sure. The next year, this was in January, so that the following November, the election happened, and the panel that I coordinated for Broadway Con happened in January. Now, it was important to me because I wanted people to remember this time in history. I am not a scholar on this time in history, but I know enough. I know all I need to know.
Right.
Okay. And I brought together Zero Mostel's son, Josh, Jack Guilford's son, Joe Guilford, Ring Lardner's daughter, Kate Lardner.
I'm just
a woman
making...
named Kate Draper. She was in the original Day in Hollywood.
Yes.
The wonderful Merle Dubusky, who was a press agent back in the day. Lee Grant.
Oh,
who
love
was, I think, 89
Lee.
Years old at that time. And Joan Copeland, who was Arthur Miller's sister.
Was she related to Arthur Miller? Related to Aaron Copeland?
No, I think there are different Copelands because her brother's Arthur Miller, so I don't know.
Yeah, but could be an uncle.
So there
gay,
we all were.
Gay Aaron
we
Copeland.
Go into this huge, huge room at the Javits Center. And
this is your idea.
Right, my idea. And my cousin, Maria, was Tom's niece, and she spent her childhood with him because this was the Long Island side of the family. We never met.
Did he ever marry?
That's another story. That might be for... Yeah, he did. I got to get to that.
Okay,
but anyway.
Sorry.
So she had videos. She had interviewed him. And wonderful moments of him talking about the Blacklist. So we get in the room. And Lee Grant is like, God, I don't know about this. I hope people show up. And I'm like, oh, I hope so too. But what had happened was I was nervous that the young kids today wouldn't really connect or want to be motivated to come to the panel because they really didn't know what it was. Night before was the ban at the airports.
Oh, wow. Airports. Wow.
Okay. Now, this shook everything up. And it just, as you know, agitated everyone to no end. So whether they came because of that or they just happened, I didn't have faith in the audience. All I can tell you is I was setting up the chairs on the dais and it was very busy because you have very little turnaround time to get your, you know, your stuff set up. I turn around, packed. And it was a huge room.
So necessary.
And we talked about everything. And Lee Grant is so articulate. Still, in her 90s. So articulate.
And what a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And so we played Tom, which maybe I can get it for you. I have to find it. Talking about how he was blacklisted and he was on the set of a Jimmy Cagney movie. About to start, first day. And these corporate people are having a hubbub in the back, and they call him over, and they say, you're off the picture. And sadly, some of the people that were involved in this blacklist were venerated character actors like Ward Bond and Adolph Mangiu and, of course, John Wayne and whatever. He made some great movies. The classic films, if you watch State of the Union, I'm going to do it in my next show. He plays a barber who gives Spencer Tracy a shave, and he has a whole monologue about why the White House and Congress is screwed up. Not enough women. Not enough women.
Wow.
Okay, it's great. And he does it with a broken accent.
Prescient.
And so I play Tom, his interview with my cousin, saying that these FBI people came to his house, his apartment in New York. They wanted him to name names. They wanted him to talk. And he said, I will not. Now, this is a kind, gentle man. But his face changed.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I'm an American. I have my rights, and you don't have to tell me what to believe. You don't tell me what to believe. I'm militant about that. I am a radical when it comes to that. I got my beliefs, and that's how I feel, and that's it. And I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Oh, please.
Conscientious objector, but he still went to war. A medic, a friggin' medic.
Yes, and wouldn't carry a gun.
All right, wouldn't carry, that's what a conscientious objector, wouldn't carry a friggin' gun. I mean, the balls that takes. The balls it takes to do
and
that.
And the Constitution, the
you
get
got it
grit.
Right. To face the people and who to, you know back then,
and yeah,
you know,
unwavering.
He would be accused of. He'd be accused of being, you know, yellow or whatever.
Now, I have a question.
But anyway, when I played that clip,
yes,
Lee Grant stands up, gives him a standing ovation.
I love you, Lee Grant.
I do too.
Lives on the Upper West Side. Your parents first seeing you in a Broadway show.
Oh, well, I mean, they saw me in Little Me, but if you blinked, you missed me. Then they saw, they didn't see me in talk radio.
But
because
did you
I was
take
downstairs.
A bow? Did you take a bow at talk radio?
I did.
Okay.
I said they did.
Did they go crazy?
No. No, I don't think they didn't go crazy. No. My parents, I think, were always in shock that I did this, but my parents and I get along and that we have the same tastes. So they, you know,
but
they...
But weren't they so proud? And,
oh, yeah. I mean, of course. My parents were very proud and lovely, and I took them to everything. And,
I love
you know,
that.
But you know my Chicago story.
Were you...
Well, when I did Chicago...
Mama Morton.
I was Mama Morton, and what had happened is I had been offered the part, and they said, can you start in a week? And I thought... and you know what? If I start in a week, I don't have, I'll surprise my parents because.
Right.
But then they had to renege that not renege, but they had to, they said, but we made a mistake. It wasn't an official, like, I didn't have the paperwork or anything. And it took another like 3 years. And then finally,
oh, hello, show business.
Offered, yeah, exactly. I get offered it again. And they said, can you start in a week? Rehearsals in a week, open 2 weeks from that, you know? And I said, yeah. And I thought, I could still surprise my parents. So I told my mother, hey, Ma, do you want to go see Chicago? She went, oh, Daddy would love that play. And I said, well, Fran Weisler gave me some tickets because I actually was supposed to be doing a benefit on my opening night on Broadway in Chicago. I was supposed to be at a benefit with Fran Weisler. So it wasn't quite a lie. So my two dear friends, Tom and Michael Dangora, they went with my parents and they got to the theater the day before and got the old playbill that didn't have my name in it. And my friend Tom stood in front of the call board so she wouldn't see my name. Not that my mother would know to look at a call board. And before the show, and I think it's on my website somewhere, before the show, Michael came backstage and interviewed me in the dressing room and everything. And then he has a video of my, oh, so then what happened is I come out as Mama Morton. So that's the first time my parents know I'm even in the show. Now, of course, I'm a little nervous because I adore Chicago. I had seen it at that point 18 times. So I had to perform in Chicago over 2 weeks before I'd been in it more times than I'd seen it.
Okay.
And so I was okay. I was in control, but it was still a nervous moment because it's iconic to me and it's my first solo, my first lead in a Broadway musical. And also, are my parents going to have a stroke?
Yes.
They could have a stroke, Judy. They could have a stroke. What have I done?
Right.
Did I do the right thing? So I come out and nobody died and, you know, they lived and I my big thing was just don't bump into the furniture or break anything.
Yes.
You know, this has been around a long time. This is a nice people's house over here in Chicago.
Yes, got you.
So then they call me at intermission. You know, Christine, I don't believe, we thought, what is this? Is Christine doing her act? Because then my mother thought, are we at a benefit? You know, is it a benefit? Because why is Christine on the stage?
Yeah.
And like one time I did something at Avery Fisher Hall and everybody recreated their iconic moments on Broadway. Ellen Green, same Somewhere That's Green. And what's his name? Robert Moore sang I Believe in You. And Jerry Orbach sang, he sang Try to Remember. And, and Colm Wilkinson sang, you know, Bring Him Home. And Chita Rivera sang all that jazz. And Carol Lawrence sang, Andrew McArdle sang Tomorrow. And my mother was in the audience sweating bullets going, what the hell is Christine doing here? Well, she's going to perform. What the hell is she going to do?
So she,
like, she couldn't understand why I was present in an evening like that.
That's so funny.
So I ended up doing, of course, montages of all the women who couldn't be there, you know, and who would have sung their signature songs.
How did you know that you could do that? That you could...
I just got cast in Forbidden Broadway.
And that was it, and you learned.
They asked, what impressions do you do? And I said, I do my Sicilian grandmother. They said, can you go Carol Channing? I said, well... Everybody does Carol Channing.
Yes.
And then they weren't as good back
then. And it's
then,
so funny that you went all over the country and the world, basically, doing Forbidden Broadway. Finally, you're in Detroit. Mm-hmm. The creator's like, all right, I want you to come to New York and be in the New York company. And
I was in Denver.
Oh,
and then I heard
I thought
that
it
they
said,
had,
oh.
Well, maybe it was a typo. But I was in Denver, and they I heard that they had cast somebody. And he had said I'd be the next new person in the show. He put me in the show once there was an opening. And I went, oh, they cast somebody? And my friend went, oh, why didn't they cast you? He was like the understudy.
Right.
He said, you would have been perfect. And I'm dying on the inside. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you fucking ass.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't understand. So I got angry. And I never get angry, really. I don't. I called up Gerard Alessandrini and I said, oh, hi, Gerard. It's Christine. I'm in Denver, opening the show here in Denver, and I just want you to know that you had said, you know, if there was an opening in New York, and I would love to go to New York. I don't want you to think that I'm planning on being in Denver for
only
a long
a woman,
time.
Only a woman
would be, so
would be
would
be like, I'm really sorry to bother you. But a guy would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you
well,
fucking told me.
You know, for me, it was that I felt the show,
But you had paid your
I
dues.
I just never believe I pay enough, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's us. So, that's women.
But anyway, he said, well, Christine, actually, we would like you to be in the New York show. Everybody does the same Gerard Alessandrini impression.
Uh-huh.
He has a very deep voice. And, oh, we'd like you to start in 2 weeks. We just wanted you to open the Denver show. So they weren't telling me that, you know, by the way, if you open your
Denver
be
show,
you're to New York. They didn't want to distract me. But anyway, the first thing I do is call up my friend Michael Levine. I said, Michael, guess what? And he went, you're doing Forbidden Broadway in New York. I said, what? It was 3 minutes ago that I hung up the phone and got the offer, okay? I don't know how or what or who, but that's how that world...
And then it closed two months later. Congratulations. Yes, Congratulations.
Welcome to the theater.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
What do you think of Deborah Messing tweeting that the people in Hollywood who went to this Trump fundraiser should be blacklisted?
I don't believe in the word blacklist. They can go to whatever they want. I am not.
No, but she's getting, you know, Trump, of course, is now failed actress. You know, that's what, you know.
Well, first of all,
I mean, I get.
All right. I think any of the people who cannot see his
harm.
What do you call it? Playground.
Yeah. Antics.
Mentality.
Yeah.
And antics of trying to. I know. I have called it since day one the "I know you are, but what am I?" administration.
Oh, right. it's the
when you see somebody say "failed actress," the failing this,
the failing
that,
New York Times.
You cannot see that he is just playing low and dirty and
a
child.
A fucking
and he is
toddler.
Also. He is also. Look, you know what? Oh, well, look, I thought because we could see through those cheap, childish tactics that it were safer. I would think if we had someone who was actually a better, more passive-aggressive a master, that we'd be in bad shape. But how could we be in worse shape?
You know, I know. That was a...
I don't know. I think that was a very stupid thing to say. Mm-hmm. Because you say first of all, you say the word list when Omarosa said it.
Yeah.
And she said, anyone who's ever wronged him is on a list. We are keeping names. Oh, my blood curdled.
Yes.
My blood curdled. This is not America.
This isn't.
And Deborah Messing didn't understand what she was doing, I think. But what happens is with a lot of extremely passionate liberal people, what I find is that...
The emotions take over.
They do. The emotions take over. She said it right. You have to talk to people like they're a child. And I don't mean talk down to them, because you shouldn't talk down to a child. You have to talk slowly. You have to make sure they're understanding what you're saying. You have to see if they understand what you're
saying.
Absolutely. And see if there's a way to
and
scratch
you have to
the
connect.
Veneer.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what you're trying to do. Connect and see if you can scratch the veneer. And if they can walk away from a conversation with you, still being who they are and believing what they believe, but having a question in their head, or at least liking you.
Yes. liking, that's why comedy's so great. It's like you make them laugh, they love you, and then you say something and they're like, oh, never thought
of
that.
Absolutely. And so I feel bad, of course, because we all love Deborah Messing and her, she has only the best intentions.
And just so fucking talented.
Of course. And you can't.
Do my podcast, Deborah.
Say, yes, do it. You just can't use a word like that.
Yes, you can't. And it's just like they can say pussy, grab your pussy, blah, 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 you know.
But the other thing is that, you know, we're also living in a world where you are not allowed to fail once. You are not allowed to make a mistake once.
Absolutely.
Your life is taken away from you, and I don't like it when I see it on any side. Look, even, I hate to say it, you know, even Bill O'Reilly, you know what I mean? Like, he had a string of things, so,
the thing is the behavior, if any of these people who behave like this were working at a company, they'd be fucking fired. Character matters, you know? Why does
Well, it does. Character does matter.
And his fucking, he seeps into the souls of the American people. Like, yeah, you know, these disenfranchised people. All right. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a couple friends of yours.
Oh,
and by the way, you're coming back because
you're Can we come back here though?
Yeah, absolutely. Next year, same time.
All right. Thank you. I would love to.
Because
you and I can't. We need to write down what we're going to talk about next,
and then we'll go off on
because we can't remember what the hell we just talked about. We have to write it down so that we can get back to the tangent that was the tangent from another tangent.
Yes. Now, Oprah on real estate.
Oprah on real estate. Hold on. All right, hold on.
You know me as a media mogul, the Oprah Winfrey Network. I am an Academy Award nominated actress. I am the spokesman for Weight Watchers WW. Bread. I love bread so much. I renamed my boyfriend Breadman, but I have been branching out into real estate. I have decided I am going to start my own country. I am starting my own country. And the name of the country is Oprahoma. Now,
that's
how
hilarious.
Are we going to get people to live in Oklahoma? If you look under your seats, you will find the keys to your own city. You get a city, and you get a city, and you get a city. Everybody gets a city in Oklahoma.
That is Rick Crome who wrote that, by the way.
I love that. Angela Lansbury as a sex hotline worker.
I can't remember it or something. I'm a little teapot. Short and stout. Please come rub my handle or rub my spout. Something like that. I don't know.
You know, you talk about how you met Barbra Streisand. And as girls our age, growing up, that is, there's nothing.
It's freaking Santa Claus. It's Jewish Santa Claus.
Yes. And you talked about how you met her. And I met her too. And I was thinking, you know, you don't want to meet them because you want to keep the.
Yeah.
So I was at a thing for. Michelle Obama at my friends who live in Hollywood who are wealthy. And she was there. And my friend Phil Rosenthal. Okay, we're getting.
I know Phil Rosenthal.
Oh, you do?
How do I know Phil Rosenthal?
He created Every Realist Room. Somebody feed Phil.
I don't know Phil Rosenthal.
Okay.
I know of Phil Rosenthal.
So Phil and
I'd
Monica,
like to know Phil Rosenthal.
He's the greatest guy.
I want to go eat with him.
Yeah, he's the greatest guy. He's so fun to go out to dinner with. And his wife is an angel, literally. Oh. And his kids are adorable. Okay, so he says to Barbara, this is Judy Gold, a very, very funny comedian. She's like, oh, hello. And I was like, no, I don't want to meet you. I don't want anything. And I was producing Rosie when she came on Rosie and I cried and cried and cried because Rosie was all of us like meeting, you know, having your own show and having Barbara Streisand as a guest was like my biggest dream. But the talent she's tiny.
She's this little, I'm telling you, I hugged her. I thought she was going to break. She's this little, but she's a real movie star. Their face fills the screen in a way that is, you can't explain how and why, but
now,
it's just.
Can I just ask Barbara a question or two?
Yes, how can I help you?
Barbara, I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
And your voice is fucking amazing.
It's just my voice. It's the way I sound.
Oh, I love you. So you're on social media, right?
I've become a fan of tweeting. I like to tweet.
And I've noticed, and this is Varla Jean Merman, who's a very talented drag queen, has it in a show, and I that, you know, people who like the Kardashians have like tens of millions of followers, hundreds of millions of followers, actually. And you have under a million, and you're one of the greatest talents ever to exist. How do you feel about that?
I've always been a fan of quality. You know, less is more when there's quality to it. So I feel that the million Twitter followers I have are people who enjoy and understand true, authentic forms of expression. Got me, honey. I
love it.
I don't know that I can rip.
Oh,
like,
my God, it was great. But. Liza, I just have to, I'm going to ask you the final two questions that we ask on the podcast, okay, because I know you have to go to the library. And I'd
I'm
like,
performing at the library. Don't for a minute think that I'm just going to sit in the reference room.
That
and, you
library
know.
Is the most beautiful. Have you been there?
No.
It's so beautiful. Right. It's so beautiful. Okay. It's the Provincetown Library. I go there to work. It's so
nice.
Beautiful. Ugh. Okay. So I was wondering if either Julie Andrews or Liza Minnelli could answer this question we ask all our guests. We're very pro mental health. Are you, or have you ever been on antidepressants or in therapy?
I've just begun both in the past 2 months.
Julie, that's great.
Yes, you see, because I've never felt I needed either. What I do recommend is having a mentally crippling illness.
Yes.
That requires alone time with someone,
yes,
who likes to talk to you. And alone time with a little bottle of white pills.
Oh, that's wonderful. What, can I ask what you're on?
Wellbutrin. I like that one.
Oh, yes, I'm on the Wellbutrin. I'm also, you know, I do the Wellbutrin with the Paxil, which is also known as Paxon, because I gained 30 pounds.
Paxil, it sounds like one of the Von Trapp children.
Yes, Paxil Von Trapp. We also ask, because the podcast is called Kill Me Now, because I literally say Kill Me Now, like I can't stand. Like, things really aggravate me, especially, like, incompetence and lying and, you know. So I always ask my guests, such as Liza Minnelli or, you know, Bernadette Peters or Ethel Merman or Patti LuPone or even Gwen Verdon. I ask these women who have all not been my guests, what pisses you off more than anything? What makes you so fucking mad? And it could be anything. It could be a tip jar, or it could be, you know, war. It could, what make, like, you cannot fucking, ugh.
You know something, Judy, listen to me, I don't get angry that often, because I like to be happy.
Liza, you
fact,
are, yeah.
That's what makes me unhappy. Pisses me off. People who aren't happy. I mean, can't you just smile and be happy? And also, there's a disturbing lack of sequence in the world.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it here in Provincetown, because they know that that's just the happy fabric.
Yeah.
It's the happy fabric. And that's all. Just smile, darn you. Also, Wellbutrin makes me happy.
You don't really get angry?
I don't like to, unless the cell phones go off in the middle.
Oh,
of,
yes, that's a bad.
And the world goes round, and then suddenly, that don't like
you,
that.
Can you explain to the listeners what it feels like to be on stage and see someone take out their phone and look at it? The bright light shining on their face. And by the way, I'm just going to say one thing. I was doing a show in a theater, and the wife dragged the husband, and the husband took out an iPad. Mm. To watch a fucking football game. Go.
First thing I want to say is, what's an iPad? That's all I have to say. I have to go.
You know, okay. And by the way, I had Lorna Luft on. And
oh,
she,
I love her
yes,
so much.
She's amazing. Father Jewish. And she described Judy Garland as you describe her in this movie. That you were.
It's true, though.
She was a kind.
Kind, funny.
Yeah. And they fucking
disappointed.
Destroyed. Yeah. And they destroyed her.
Yeah. And it was a time, she was like the first megastar of that
yes.
generation. The silent film stars were megastars, and a lot of them crashed and burned bad.
Yes.
Bad, bad, bad. But we don't remember them. She was the first that we remember because she was recorded in a way that got, you know.
Yeah.
And And she didn't know enough, and the people in her life didn't know enough to say.
Well, she was such a baby.
Well, they didn't know enough to say, no, she's only doing 4 pictures this year.
Yes.
And like it or lump it.
Right, and don't put toothpicks in her nose.
Yeah, and they didn't know that, because they really thought, what else is she going to do? And so I have to tell you, I went in really scared, and I came out very impressed. It has such grace and poise. It's called Judy.
Judy. I got to get a poster of that.
Yeah.
Because my name's Judy.
You should. You should.
Christine, I cannot thank you enough. I could talk to you for 10 more hours.
I would love to anytime, anytime.
And I just want to, can you just tell people where to find you?
Well, ChristinePetty.com.
P-E-D-I.
P-E-D-I. And then the Twitter is at Christine Petty. And
you're on SiriusXM.
I'm on SiriusXM Radio every day.
You're producing. Are you going to be starring in this show as well?
The show Everybody is called Ride? Everybody Rise, and it's at Birdland on the September 20, 2021, 2024, and October 1st. Just go to the website.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous.
And you're producing and
well, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Starring.
I mean, I'm helping Joe do everything in New York, so I guess that's what he's calling me. And then I'm doing a show at the George Street Playhouse called The Last Days of Summer about
auditioned.
Jewish boy. Oh, you did? Oh, well, I can't believe I got a part.
Did you get, what's her name?
I got the aunt.
Yeah.
The very Orthodox aunt. Sorry, I'm going to have to pretend to be Jewish.
You got it. You know why?
Why?
Because they wanted a soprano.
They wanted what?
A soprano.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you're an alto.
But you said they wanted a soprano.
I know. I'm saying I didn't get it. They were like, you did great.
Oh, they
wanted
the mother?
Yes, to
be
a soprano.
Oh, they want the mother to be a soprano and aunt to be an alto, and I got the aunt. I understand this all now. Look, I never get anything, so I'm new to this whole world.
That play is so great, and
is
I'm so happy for you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, you're going to have so much fun. And it's going to go to Broadway.
It's the first time I'm ever having a costume made for me from scratch.
That's awesome. You deserve it.
First
You're
time.
So fucking talented.
You're
all
so
right.
Sweet. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you.
And I do my Christmas show every year, you know, at Feinstein's.
Yes,
it's called
go
Snow
see
Business.
It.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because you heard Liza Minnelli singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hilarious.
You know, so that's great fun.
All right. But and anyway. As we always say, so long.
Goodbye.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.